world's on fire, our culture is disintegrating.
Hey, pass the salt.
It's time. Hey, you, pass the salt.
You know what, why it's disintegrating? Because we're jellyfish.
Pass the salt, will you?
Pass the salt.
Pass the salt, amigo.
It's time.
I think they could give us a new name. I believe we are Evan Jellyfish.
Hey, will you pass the salt?
Pass the salt.
We need salt over here.
It's time for Pass the Salt.
Pass the salt.
But we like to share the gospel without any backbone to it, see?
The views, opinions, and seemingly outrageous comments expressed in this program are based on the Holy Spirit leading of a man called Coach.
I gotta ask you this out there, Christian America.
It's time for Pass the Salt with a Coach, Dave Dobenmeyer.
Hey, good morning. Good morning. What the heck date is it? I always put that up there for us. It is the, yeah, is it the 28th already? Show number 2560. Would that be right, Spencer? Is that the number that you got? 2560? That's what I got. That's a lot, man. Producer says 2457. Well, my math's way off then. So help, we'll get it back in line here. A lot going on. Been doing this a while. And, I got up this morning. Of course, you go figure all day Friday, all day Saturday, all day Sunday. There's crap going on everywhere, right? I mean, there is. So when I sit down, I try to bring a show that is somewhat relevant. God, I'm 3 days behind over the weekend. What was important on Friday doesn't seem to be as important on Saturday. And what was important on Saturday doesn't seem as important as what happens on Sunday. And then I get up Monday morning and there's a whole bunch of new stuff out there. Stuff is moving so quickly, so quickly. But I want to make a point here. Spencer, go to Webster's real quick. Oh, 2,460, Spencer said. Okay, I'm 100 ahead. I got 2560, 2460, okay. What did I say? Go to Webster's. Spencer's got the slows. I'm just kidding. That guy ain't doing a lot of things. Look up offense, O-F-F-E-N-C-S-E, offense. No, O-F-F-E-N-S-E. There it is. Offense. That's to take anger. No. Scandaling. No. An attack. Number five. An attack. An assault as a weapon on offense. Football has offense and they have defense. Offense is when you take the ball and you attack with the ball. You're on offense. You're trying to dictate the rhythm of the game. You have the ball. And if you're way ahead, a lot of times you'll go into a slow down offense. A run-out-the-clock offense. And it's effective. If you see the scoreboard and you know the end of the game, you know what's going on. Lord, let the words of our lips and the meditation of our heart be pleasing in your sight today. In Jesus' name. You can look up and you see the scoreboard. You got a minute and a half. We're ahead by a point, and I just got to figure out a way to run out the clock. I don't know how many timeouts the other team has. I know this. We're not going to throw it, and we're not going to run out of bounds, because every time we do that, the clock stops. We're on offense, and we're going to control the game. Not everybody with me on that? You can't win without the ball. You can play perfect defense, and the best you'll ever get is a tie, 0-0. You have to play offense. Spence, so then what is defense? What did Mr. Webster say? Defense. Defense, anything that opposes an attack. What? Defense would be anything that opposes an attack. Violence, danger, or injury. Anything that secures the person. The rights for the possessor. What's the purpose of having a gun? Defense. Defense. When you use the gun for offense, no. Guns are used for defense. With me? Say, Coach, what are you talking about? Here's what I'm talking about. Can somebody please tell me what offensive plays the church runs. I'm gonna wait a second. Well, now, wait a minute. Hang on. When you go to church, wherever you go to church, say, Coach Dave, you're always bashing the church. No, I'm not. I'm trying to strengthen the church. I'm trying to motivate the church. I'm trying to get the church to get off of their behind. So those of you who just spent a weekend in church on Sunday, can you please tell me what play you were called to run? Or was most of the sermon about defense? How to keep the devil off of you, how to keep the devil from stealing your money, how you get him from stealing your joy. Can somebody help me? Is it just me? Did you go to a church this weekend where there was an offensive play called where they said, okay, folks, here's what we do. We all leave here. Here's what we're going to do. And I'll see you back here on Wednesday night. And if you can't make it next Sunday, and we're going to evaluate our play, and we're going to see what we can do to be more effective with our play. Anybody go to a church like that? Just curious. Anybody go to a church like that? Hang on, Vinny. I'll get you, Glenn and Jeff. I'm trying to make a point. Because I want you to know, hang on. Mercy ministry is ministry, but it's not offense, folks. I can go out and I can send book bags to kids going to school, back to school. That's not, folks, that ain't offense. Sorry, that ain't offense. That ain't doing anything to stop the other team from scoring. In fact, when you give the kids book bags to go to school, you're sending them into enemy-held territory with nothing more than a book bag. Right? Huh? Does the church even know how to play offense? Do you even know how to do it? You're sending your child into the public school. What's his offensive weapon that you've given him? Or you or me or whoever. I'm not talking about you. I'm just talking about in general. How do we get to the point where the church is only playing defense? Better than that. Prevent defense. Prevent defense. You say, Coach, what's prevent defense? Well, it's at the end of the game. Last 2 minutes of the game, my team's ahead. All I want to do is keep the other team from scoring. That's called the prevent defense. Don't let them score here at the end of the game. Would anybody out there agree with me that church playing defense? Church is in the prevent defense. We can just hang in there. We can just hang in there till Jesus comes. We just hang in there till the rapture. Oh, boy, if we can just hang in there. Yes or no? Yes or no? Are we talking about expanding the kingdom of God? Going to all the world, teach them to observe all I've commanded you, lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the age? No, we don't talk that. I'm going somewhere with it. Spencer, if you could, real quick, pull up the pictures of the staking pictures. I was out with Glenn. Okay, stay right there. See if you can, I didn't make them very big. Go back to the first one. Going back one. So I got on a map Saturday morning, and I mapped downtown churches, Columbus, Ohio. Look at them. Now, folks, hang on. Right down there where that number one is, that's the state house. That's the center of government in Ohio, the state house. And isn't it amazing? The back... when they built the state house, these huge cluster of churches were also built. That the idea of the government and the church being one was very, very obvious when you walked through downtown Columbus, Ohio. Right, Glenn? You with me, Glenn? Huh? You with me? Michelle, you with me? Because yes. Karina, we went. So I want to show you something here. It really woke. I ought to go every day somewhere with rocks in my pocket to stake every place I put my foot. I ought to stake it. So let me show you real quick. I'm going to open it up here. Hey friends, let's go on the offense. And Craig's been trying to tell us for months and months and months. This is what we need to do. This is what's going on. This is what the devil's doing. This is what we need to do. This is what we need to do. And don't take this as criticism. You can take it as criticism if you want to. We go to conferences, and what do we learn at conferences? What the devil's doing. When you walk away from a conference, you have a game plan. Here's what we're going to do. Here's how we're going to push back. When, look, here's what, if I were to get David Arthur in a room and let him tell us what the grooming of the homosexual agenda was. Let's say we had a church of 5,000 people, and David gave unmistakable, irrefutable evidence that they were recruiting children into homosexuality. What would the church's plan be? Just pray for him. We'll pray for him. We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but principalities and powers, evil spirits in high places, and the weapons of our warfare. They're not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations and every high, lofty thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. So here's our little team. I want you to see something again. I want you to keep this in mind as we move on here. We wonder why America's in the mess we're in. We're turning to politicians to say this. Politicians. And people run for political office because they want the power and the benefits that comes with being in office. They don't, for the most part, some of them, for the most part, they don't do anything. They don't want to advance the kingdom. Certainly don't want to advance the kingdom. They don't want Christian people in public office. They'll run them out. Right? Let me run through some pictures here. There's Glenn. Next picture. That's Michelle standing in yellow. We're standing outside some old, look at this, folks. Downtown Columbus. A stone's throw from the State House. Trinity Episcopal Church. It's a heritage tour. See, it's a, go back. Okay, there you are. Folks, it's a monument to what used to be. You understand? Trinity Church, organized 1817. What? Incorporated, oh, of course. 1832. This building erected 1860. Do you have any idea how long ago that building was built? And do you know what they built it out of? They built it out of stone! Because it was forever going to be the chief cornerstone in the community. Trinity Episcopal Church. Go to the next one. These are all, hey, you walk right outside the Capitol. The Capitol is surrounded with these churches. Go to the next one. Next picture. St. Joseph's Cathedral. Huh? Heritage tour. Folks, are you picking this up? This is like an old history tour. An old, here's what Christianity used to be. By the way, can I tell you this? This is when Michelle and I were married. St. Joseph Cathedral. Look at that. Look at that edifice. It doesn't look like those modern churches that look like Walmarts today, right? Somebody say amen, Vinny. Somebody say amen. We build churches today that look like Walmarts.
Boom.
These are churches in downtown Columbus. Now, that ain't even a church anymore. That's become some government building. Go to the next one. There's Michelle standing outside another one, praying, putting stones down. Why haven't we thought of this sooner? Look at this. Why, that church is on the property of the National Registry of Historic Places. Christian churches. It's historic. Huh? It's been placed on the National Register of Historic Places. A stone's throw. I could spit and hit the Capitol building. Ain't nobody there now. I don't even know if they have church services there. Church office entrance on Chapel Street. Folks, downtown Columbus, Chapel Street. Why? That's where the churches were. Next one. Oh, there we go. This will make you feel good. You probably can't see it. That's a big old church, but it isn't anymore. If you can, maybe I need to pull that up on my phone, because that sign, right? Hang on. That sign tells you something. What's that sign say, Coach? Hang on, I'll tell you. It says, big sign, Franklin Learning Academy. They've now farmed it out to some preschool. See that steeple on there? I wonder if they're teaching about Christ in this preschool, probably run by the government. Right downtown, it's downtown Columbus. But the next one. Oh my goodness. Trinity Lutheran Church. Trinity Lutheran. Go to the next picture because they go together. Look at that steeple. Look at that steeple. Trinity Lutheran Church. Next picture. Front door. When was it established? 1856. Is that what it says? I got it right here. Folks, this is our heritage. We don't even care anymore. Hang on. Trinity Evangelical Lutheran Church, 1856. Still standing. Go back a picture. Look at that steeple. A mockery of Christianity. Look at this. It's become a homeless shelter. www.oldtrinity.com. Come worship with us. Well, there's the rainbow flag. It's a FL, some congregate folks. But the foundations be destroyed. What can the righteous do? I'm scrolling here. Make sure there's not something else for you to see.
Amen.
We got the six of us. Got six of us. We're able to go down there. Six. Hang on a second. Oh, Lord Jesus, help us, Lord. Help us, Lord. Glenn, you come on in there. Is Glenn in here? Glenn, give us. Look at Craig Mickle. Look at Craig Mickle.
Yeah, it was good. And
hang on, Glenn. Glenn, hang on just a second. Craig Mickle, staking the U.S. Supreme Court building. No, I don't want to make anybody feel bad. Hang on. I'll get you in there, Glenn. Good question for you today. How many of you actually did something this weekend? How many of you got another couple and went and staked a couple churches, went out and had dinner, lunch together, had some fellowship? How many of you went on the offensive this weekend? And I felt guilty. I told Michelle, I'm going to start carrying stones with me. What? Oh, yeah, I am. Because when the Holy Spirit hits me, I'm going to get out and I'm going to begin to reclaim this territory for the cause of Christ. Come on, Glenn, I cut you off.
Yeah. Thanks, Coach. You know, there were many more churches downtown. If, you know, you could drive around. We could see Staples. We could see these 12 churches in the distance. We could have spent all day just in Columbus. It was hot, but we spent, you know, the morning there. But the other thing I was thinking is that there are churches all around you. There are churches all around, and you almost don't have to. You can just, on your way to the store, if you're driving by a church, stop and do a declaration. So it could become part of your routine. So think about that.
Hey, Glenn, it doesn't have to be churches, government buildings, schools, cemeteries, city limits. Every place you put your foot, God's given to us as an inheritance. But we're not taught this. Why? We are into evacuation, are we not? Into evacuation. We're going to get out of here soon. And there stand those, put some of those pictures back up there, Spencer. These godly edifices built 200 years ago, still standing. They built them with these great big steeples out of this big rock. Because why? They were the rock of the community. Church was the rock of the community. It wasn't going anywhere. You go to World Harvest Church today. Just pick them one because I know about it. You go to any of these big evangelifish churches, they're just freaking malls. Somebody say amen. They're built like a mall. Somebody say
amen. Amen.
Hey, I don't know this. I don't know this. I do know this. You pick the biggest church that you can find there in Columbus, Ohio, wherever you are. You drive by there and see if they even have a cross up. See if they even have a steeple. See if they have anything to identify them. I'm just telling you the truth. You can get as mad as you want to. And it's because our attitude is one of evacuation. Evacuation. By the way, pray for Dr. Bob Ruth. I just saw his name here. He had surgery on his spine. He's really struggling with it. Those of you know Bob, Dr. Bob, just pray for him. Emergency room doctor. I got so much stuff I want to dig in. I'm going to let you jump in here a minute. I'm going to let you all jump in here. Do you think we're going to win? I'll never forget. A coach said to me at seventh grade, might have been seventh grade. He probably didn't even know how impactful it was. He said to me, if you think you can, or if you think you can't, you're right.
Boom.
Do we think God can restore America? Or are we convinced we're out of here? We're out of here. Now, one of our dear friends, Michelle and I, Chris Clegg, some of you know Chris, lives in St. Louis, is literally running the last steps of his race. Cancer. I spoke to his wife yesterday. Last steps of his race. And I know if I could go in and if I could drag Chris out of that bed, because I know Chris and I know his heart, he'd want to die in front of an abortion clinic. He'd want to die holding a sign at a gay pride parade. He'd want to die advancing the kingdom of God. And I tell you this, most Christians don't feel that way. Because the old saying goes, I want to go down standing up. And that's not the mentality of the American church. I got so much stuff to show you today. I'm going to try to get to it. I want to hear from you guys what I want. Those of you who did stake, any pictures, anything like that that you can put up. Hey, folks, why don't we make this, rather than just an event? Pull up Mel's page there, if you could, Spencer. Why don't we, Michelle and I, why don't we make this? No, I'm sorry. The other one. A calling to the people. Sorry, Mel didn't. A calling to the people. Craig's, I'm sorry. Why don't we do this? Why don't we, all day today, why doesn't it become part of our daily praying? Find some place to go, prayer walk. We invited the Holy Spirit back into those cold, dead churches. It's a spirit, friends. Maybe nobody's going to go to that old evangelical Lutheran church in downtown Columbus because probably hardly anybody lives downtown anymore. Maybe that's part of it. But could we speak life over that property, life over those people, and invite again Christ back in? Why would this be so hard for us to do? Craig Mickle ought to be on a constant invitation list to all these conferences to tell people what they can do rather than continue to tell us how we got here, how bad it is, woe is me, woe is my. Anybody say amen out there? Do I have any friends out there know what I'm talking about?
Amen.
Spend $1,500, go to a conference, and I leave depressed because I know it's bad. Boy, it sure is bad. And then if you ask him, say, so what plan did you guys come up with? And he just look at you. This is a plan. Get ready, Craig, and we'll bring you in here in a second. This is a plan, folks. This is a plan. Craig's going to come in here and give you some history. He's going to blow your socks. I hope you're ready, Craig. Vinny, come on in.
Well, speaking of the offensive, the last two times that I can think of the churches publicly going on the offensive was back in 1931 when they saw the movie industry was getting out of control. They instituted the Hays Code. And 1947, when they ran the Morgenthau Plan, were trying to starve Germany to death, Father Charles Coughlin told them to go out there and get the food from the storehouses. That's the last examples that I can publicly remember of the church being on the offensive.
Vinny, we don't even know what church looks like, do we? Do we even know what it would look like? What church on the offense? What would it look like? Joe Allen, come on in.
You're right, Coach. The churches used to be pillars of our community.
That's right.
Like in coal mine states, the coal miners used to go to church in the morning. They'd pick them up from church after they're praying for the day that going to work in the coal mines.
Amen.
And now our churches are closing, and the Muslims are taking over purchasing our churches, the big brick and stone monument churches that we have. Enough said.
Amen. Amen, Joe. Michelle, don't let me forget Shelby Nethers. Say what? Oh, yeah. Yeah. Shelby showed up out of nowhere. Listens to the show. Wants to do something. When she wants to do something. She showed up in downtown Columbus. Wants to do something. Wants to put her faith into something. Rather than hiding in her prayer closet. And nothing against prayer closet. Nothing against that. You're going to go to war. Hey, Ray LeBlanc, do they hate you yet in Wisconsin? Are you hated yet, Ray, of all men?
Well, I'm getting some loving. I'm getting a little bit of loving going on, too. I mean, not everybody's in the enemy's camp. A lot of them just need to be woken up. And how are they going to be woken up unless just a preacher sent? How are they going to hear the word unless a preacher goes out there? So, you know, you get opposition, but don't let, you know, you got to make, like you say, you got to make the tackles, too. And I just wanted to mention Pastor Matt Torella. He brought one of those old decaying churches and gave it CPR, and it's living and breathing again.
How about that, huh?
Yeah. Look at that church edifice. It's one of those old buildings, right? I mean, this weekend, Friday night, we in little town of Marshfield, 18,000 people, we had a guy named Steve Page from Bare Naked Ladies, fame of the past, if you remember that concert band. And, people turned out for that. But we went and staked all around them while they were in there. And I anointed a bunch of stones, and we just tossed them all around that perimeter and trapping the people inside and praying over them. Saturday all day from 8 o'clock in the morning till 5 o'clock that evening, they had a car show blocking off over 14 blocks. Thousands of people out there. We had Saving God's Children signed in all that literature and gospel tracts out there. So that was our church. And then Sunday morning, every Sunday morning, I get out on our main street with our Jesus Saved signs in my Bible and just wave at all the people, and I get a lot of thumbs up. So, you know, those just simple little things that didn't cost me a dime, and anybody can do it. So,
amen.
Praise God.
Amen. God bless you, Ray. Boy, how far you have come, brother. You're just waiting to be ignited, weren't you? You were just dry kindling, just waiting to be ignited, weren't you, Ray?
Yeah, 40 years in the wilderness, Coach, and then you let a fire into my butt.
Wow. You fanned it into flames, baby. Fanned it into flames. Wow. Look at Craig there. Craig, I'm going to get you in here in a second because you'll do some history for us and things that Craig Mickle, it's unbelievable. He gives me dates. Coach, remember when we did this? Coach, remember we did this? You know what this is? Are you looking at this right now, folks? Are you ready for this? It's Craig Nichols' thigh, left thigh, I assume. Four rocks and a Saving God's Children. And do you know where he, oh my goodness. Do you know where he staked? He's sitting down right?
I want to leave that one out there, Coach.
You want me to talk about that?
I don't really want to put that on there. But
okay.
Oh, but it has to do with Epstein in Washington, D.C., and you can figure it out there. You know, if you're ever hungry and you need to go order something or get it delivered, okay, you can figure it out.
That's right. Or maybe if you like to play ping pong, right, you would get it, right? Who knows, right? So, again, the gates of hell will not prevail against the church. Hey, Ray, help me out. Does this sound to me like the gates are on offense or defense? The gates of hell are defensive. Why? Because the church is supposed to be attacking hell, the demonic. We got it backwards. We build gates in our churches to keep the devil out. By the way, that evangelical Lutheran church there, it's become a homeless shelter. All the homeless sleeping outside in their sleeping bags, all everywhere you look. Homeless. All the church can do is mercy ministry. It's all they need to know to do. Let me hear from some of you folks. What Mel, you wanted to say something. I didn't give you a chance to come in. Come on in. And then I want to hear, did some of you go? No, I don't want to hurt anybody. I don't want to hurt anybody's feelings. Why? Why didn't you go? When you go? Well, coach, you know, I didn't have anybody, and I spoke to my pastor, and yeah. What if we launched this movement of taking back our churches? Really, really did it. Come on in, Craig. Give us some history here, Craig. Some of the stuff that you sent me yesterday, I was going to try to copy and paste here. It blew my mind.
Well, I mean, it's really an outflow, I think, from 2020. I mean, when we started going places and praying over them, you know, the Georgia Guidestones, and then we
They fell down, by the way, didn't they? Didn't they, Craig? Didn't those Guidestones fall down? I think they did.
They did. And then we went down to Dale's church for, you know, I mean, you got to remember, gosh, COVID, it seems like it's so long ago, but it's not that long ago, Coach. It's really not. And then we were sitting across that courthouse there, and I remember I said, man, I gotta go pray and walk. And then Steve Deck came along, and then we did a Jericho walk, and then people had the shofar there, and we walked around that building 7 times. And then Tony Spell won, right? You know, he won. And then I was reading, and you look at that Supreme Court picture there, I was reading this thing in January. It says that very court, that I think it's the 9th District, you know, they'll have to correct me on that. They were sending a case about Joe Biden has gotten office. He says, if you have over 100 people, it's going to mandate them in corporate America, you're going to have to get the shot. And I said, that's not fair, because I started pleading with the Lord. I said, Lord, I said, man, there are Christians who they got to feed their families. I mean, they're going to be put into undue stress here. And they were getting ready to hear that case that Friday. And so I woke up that Sunday. I said, I got to go to Supreme Court. I got to pray. I said, I don't want people to have to choose between their job and Jesus. You know, that's not right. And that was the precipice to this. And I sent you last night because this is how God affirms the things, right? You know, Coach, your story was before Joe Kennedy's story. Okay. Joe Kennedy, his case was heard in 2022, and he won that case for praying on his
field. That was a football coach who's let go because of praying with his team. It happened to me in 1990. Joe Kennedy, it happened in 2000, whatever. Go ahead, Craig.
So anyways, he went through, and he was from Washington State, and that's very liberal courts out there on the West Coast. Right. But anyways, they denied him going to the Supreme Court, okay? But when I was watching the show, I said, wow, he said, wow, they decided to rehear our case because something that they found in the lower case of the lower case was wrong, and they're going to rehear it again in the Supreme Court. Well, Coach, when the Supreme Court did that, that was 12 days after I went to the Supreme Court. It was January 14th.
So
the problem is I could take 25 minutes of your show and tell you about coincidences of going right. places. And it has nothing really to do with me. I think it has to be with your obedience. I mean, Randy could tell you the same thing. You know, you guys went to the courthouse in Nashville, you know, and the case got delayed, a big storm. I mean, it goes back to Steve Hemphill's thing. When you show up, God shows up. When you're in God's will, God's going to move. And I think that's just that's the way to move forward with this. And I think no one knows the condition of his church more than Jesus Christ. Mm. You can bellyache. You can say how bad it is. You can say, like, tell me what I don't have. What are you going to do about it? Are you going to invite him back in? And I think that's very important. And he will refine his church. It's his church. It's his name. He will do it. Now, if he convicts them and they get on the right path, amen. If he says, well, we need a change of leadership, well, amen. Whatever it is, God will move.
Whatever he says unto you, do it. Now, friends, I'm not trying to hurt anybody's feelings, okay? No. If you get hurt, you get hurt. Can you name this will be an easy way to do it, in the town in which you live. In the town in which you live, can you name for me one church that the government hates? Anybody name one? Anyone that the people in the town say, I'll stay with those people are crazy. They're out there fighting against abortion. Do you guys know of one? Matt Tuella has one. Dale Socia has one. Anybody know of another one? Where they would actually take the team to the field. This is so easy to go stake, to prayer walk, put a stone down, pray over the stone. We ought to all of us ought to be doing it everywhere we go, every day. I'm going to do it when I go to the post office today. We have a Masonic temple in my town. I'm going to prayer walk that thing today. Every day, every one of us. Why are we waiting for Trump? Or Elon Musk, or Franklin Graham. Why?
Well, Coach, I'd even go to where you ever enter into your town, okay? Because the enemy marks their territory. Just look at all those symbols, you know, Better Business Bureau, it will have a Masonic Lodge thing, okay? They're telling you they own the town.
Okay? They do, brother. They do.
And this is what got Lot out of trouble from God's heart, because he would go to the gates of Sodom because he was vexed. If you look up the word vexed, he was troubled over the condition of his city, right? Yeah. He saw what was going on. He knew it was wrong, okay? And God honored that. God's not out of the business of that, Coach.
Why
if
are
your heart is vexed for your own city and your own locality, and you're asking for God to come in and move, he will do that. Just give him the time, look for the response, and you'll see it.
So all you people out there, and I'm talking to me now, like to go for those daily walks. Like, why don't you go walk around your library and stake your library? Why don't you go walk around your police department and stake your police department? Go walk by your city council and stake your city council. Why don't you do that? Why don't you make something happen while you're walking? Why don't you reclaim, say, I believe it's real. You know why I know it's real? Because I remember the day. I don't keep dates like Craig does. I remember the day when Randy Lunsford, I hardly knew Randy. I hardly knew him. We were in Chappaqua, New York, where Bill and Hillary Clinton lived. And I was sitting at the gas station, and Randy Lunsford comes back to me all panicked. He says, Coach, I got to go back. 15 Old House Lane, Chappaqua, New York. I got to go back. I said, why, Randy? He said, I was supposed to anoint the threshold. Coach, I got to go back. So knock yourself out. Randy drove back to 15 Old House Lane, home of Bill and Hillary Clinton. He went up and he laid his hands on the entrance of that thing. He marked it for the cause of Christ. And I don't know about you guys, but you didn't hear much about Hillary Clinton after that date. Something happened. Amen, Randy. Amen, Randy.
And he put his feet past the threshold.
His feet under the threshold. Is that right, Randy? Am I making that up?
Obedience is the legs of faith, Coach.
Mm-hmm. Yep. You saved the whole world from having Hillary Clinton be president.
That was.
You can laugh if you want to. I believe it.
That was 6 years ago, Coach. I've done a lot since then. I've done a lot of things no one even knows. Craig, but very few people know. I don't publicize it, Coach, because I probably get thrown in jail if I did. But
amen, amen, amen.
It's just you learn when the presence of the Lord is, speaks to you and moves you. All you do is you realize you're very unperfect. We all have issues, Coach, but God wants our heart. You know, he's not looking for a perfect vessel. He's looking for a heart that says, I love the presence of God. I'm going to take it anywhere I go, and I'm going to deliver a package, a spiritual package. I'm not dropping any bombs. This is nothing violent. But you just go do it, Coach. And he just says, God, if you could see in the spiritual realm, you could see God, I believe, see Jesus with his thumbs up and said, thank you. I can take it from here. We got to see the value in spiritual action. We have to see it. And if you don't show up in the natural, the spiritual is not going to be there either, Coach.
Yep. No,
the natural body, the spirit that needs that body to be deliver as the delivery agent. And we have to be willing and go.
Spencer, pull up downtown vid real quick. Downtown. I just want to show you this. I posted this. Folks, this is so easy to do. And then I got to have a nice meal with Glenn and Shelby, my wife. This is me outside that church I just showed you. Can I tell you something else? You guys know the issue I've been having with gout. I walked almost 4 miles, and I'm like a new man. I'm like a new man. I can't believe I could do it. We won't watch the whole thing, but go ahead. Play it real quickly.
Hey, good morning, folks. Just kind of catching my breath here a little bit. We're out on something I want to make you aware of. Let me turn the camera here. We're doing this in a lot of places all across America today. We are prayer walking our churches. We're in downtown Columbus. I'm sitting right in front of I'm a little bit tired. We're praying over. Let me flip this camera around. Well, you can see it over my shoulder. This is just one of the churches that we've hit. As you can see, we've got a prayer group of folks that are standing here. The old Trinity.com, the Trinity Evangelical Lutheran Church.
Put it in the chat. I don't want you to watch downtown. It. This was so easy to do. It was so easy to do. So easy to do. Come on in, Mel.
Thanks, Coach. You know, as we've been talking about action, that's what the Liberty Action was formed to do, was to be a platform to support the ecclesia in action. And, you know, many of our early actions were staking events and actions. So, I mean, it's a really great thing to do. You know, one of the Bible verses that's been kind of a cornerstone for the ministry of the Liberty Action Network is James 1:25, to not just be a hearer, but to be a doer. So over the last several years, you know, the platform at the Liberty Action Network has been, you know, supporting each other in actions, events, ministries, and business. So, you know, I'm happy to support that. I'm really happy to support Saving God's Children. I mean, I really feel like I was gone last week, and it's perfect, I think, that this action is on that platform. So I heartily support it, and I encourage everybody to do it. And it's something that you can do all the time. So this is an ongoing action, but great job, great action.
Amen. Look, what if the church got this? What if the church got this? What if we went to, I don't want to step on anybody's toes. What if we had a great big conference and we trained everybody on how to do this very simple thing? And everybody left that conference and they went to their own individual towns and they raised up prayer walking, staking groups to reclaim it for the cause of Christ. There are Masonic temples in, there's 88 counties in Ohio, and I don't know how many townships. A township is a division of a county. There's like 400 townships in Ohio. They all have a Masonic temple. The last time you ever prayer walk your Masonic temple? Reclaim that property against those principalities and powers? Why don't we think this way? Glenn, come on in. I'm blaming me. Why don't I think that? I'm not blaming you. We got us an idea here. We can make a difference.
Greg,
people Greg will come and help you. Go ahead, Glenn.
Yeah.
Craig reminded me of something. You know, 2 years ago, here's the thing. If you want to learn more about Steve Hemphill and staking, just go to Craig's Saving Children website, and he's got a lot of information. And if you better understand it, then you'll be more apt to take action. Because, you know, both Randy and Craig, they've developed plans. And now we have a plan. All we have to do is run the plan. Run the play. Okay. But here's what I was reminded of. Two years ago, Phil Parr, Karina, and myself, we prayer walked the quad at Ohio State University, and we staked it. And wouldn't you know, last year, Revival broke out on the campus with the Buckeyes football team and students. They had baptisms. And it was a year after we had staked the quad. And it wasn't anything in us, but just being obedient to prayer walking and staking, you know, we saw the result of that a year later.
Amen.
So again, thank you, Craig, for reminding me of that.
It isn't always instantaneous, is it? It isn't always instantaneous. Man, oh, man. Joe Allen, come on in, Joe.
Yeah, I was going to pick up on what Glenn said. I was going to say the same thing. But when Carol and I go out and stake, when we put on that stone, that program tells you what to do, how to prayer walk and everything. Carol's and I favorite saying is Psalm 46:10. Be still and know that I am God.
Mm-hmm.
That's our favorite. So pick your favorite hymn or phase in the Bible, what you want to put on the Bible. And all you got to do is just put the abbreviation, Psalm 46:10. Not hard.
Amen. You don't even have to put anything on the stones. We didn't put anything on the stones. We prayed over him. We dropped the stone. We moved on. And somebody,
that's right.
Somebody can come along there, and they won't see the stone there. They don't know. But it's a marker. It's a marker. We're reclaiming it. This land belongs to Almighty God. Will those churches ever come alive in downtown Columbus? I don't know, but maybe they will. Maybe they will. Maybe we invite that Spirit of God back. Maybe something will happen. Craig. Hang on, let me get Glenn quickly, then you, because you'll go for on from it. Good, Glenn.
No, I'm all set. I forgot to take my.
Okay, go ahead, Craig.
Well, that's why it's attached to a calling to the people, Coach. Okay, because you were there, and a lot of people were there. And, you know, Spencer, pull that website up, right? That's why this is tied into that, okay? And if you look at what happened after we were there, right? This is 2022 again. I'm talking about
Supreme Court. We went to Gettysburg, PA. Go ahead.
Right, okay. So this is a very important year for us as a group. But what I'm saying is that's, you know, in February, that's where that revival broke out at a college in Kentucky, a calling to the people.
Spencer. That's right. Calling to the people.
Okay. And then one of the things we asked for, you know, and this was Mel's objection. You know, when I wrote up the document, Chad, me and Silver came up with the six things we need to repent for. Human trafficking is what Mel said. Well, guess what? Disney owned the film in 2022. They sold it in April 2023, and The Sound of Freedom came out on July 4th, 2023. Okay. So, what I said, I started seeing how God was moving already in what we were doing in a calling to the people, you know, because our heart was right. Like, he can move in this, you know, if you get down there, injustice, human trafficking. Okay. We were there in September of 2022, and the movie about human trafficking that was owned by Disney, never meant to come into the public view, is being displayed and received by millions of people in July of 2023. Now, you know, how many times do you just need to see that God is willing to do this if you're willing to do it? And we have, and Randy and Steve Deck have given me great appreciation for the land. Okay. Yeah, he created us, right? But he took us out of the land. We're dust, right? So there is a connection between us and the land. And Satan's fighting for the land. Okay, it is a ground war and a spiritual war. And when you make that connection and you realize that God's, it's his footstool, and it's like, you're coming back to reclaim that, and I just want to be a part of it, you're going to see the Lord moving mighty ways.
So how about this one, folks? I just Googled this. At least 20 Planned Parenthoods have closed across America. At least 20. And then it says, are you ready? Planned Parenthood has publicly stated that nearly 200 of their offices are in danger of closing.
Boom.
Hmm? Something's happening here.
Well, that's the number one thing on a call into the people, abortion, right? What I'm saying is we are tugging on the Lord's heart, is what I'm saying. We're asking, and we're saying, Lord, show us, show others. Let your spirit is your. Let us rise up for the moment,
friends. Here's. I don't know how to do that. I really don't know. Look, churches have become a hindrance. They become a hindrance. And somebody help me out here. Didn't the Lord say, "Come out of her, come out of her, my people, come out of her"? And when I stand before the Lord, the Lord's not going to ask me about where'd you fellowship? Where'd you go? I forget, Coach Dave. What was that? What congregation were you part of, Coach Dave? What was that? And you sang all those wonderful songs there in church. Coach, did you ever go do anything? Did you ever get involved at all in the spiritual battle? You know, back Coach Dave, when you were down there, they were cutting off little kids' penises. Coach Dave, did your congregation do it? Did you do anything about that, Coach? Hey, Coach Dave, weren't they saying marriage was a man and a man or a woman? Did you guys do anything about that when you were down there, Coach? Folks, I take it seriously. I'm going to stand before him and give an account for what I did or what I didn't do. Because the Bible says for you to know to do good and not to do it to you, it is sin. More churches dot the landscape looking like Walmarts, by the way. No power. Well, there's power inside. Sometimes power inside. And they're hiding from the devil. And they ain't taking it out. By the way, you're the salt of the earth. Not the salt of the church. Salt of the earth. You're supposed to come into church and get salty and go out. And come back and get salt. So here's what I'm saying. Some of you quit waiting for your pastor. He ain't coming, folks. He ain't coming. Find 2, 3, 4 people, whatever, and you be the church. You be the church. You can do it. They'll never know. We got the tools for you. We can help you do it, and you'll begin to impact your community, and nobody's going to know why it happened. Nobody's going to get it. Michelle, come on.
Hey, good morning, team. Good morning, Coach.
Morning.
You know, God knows all this is going on, and when it comes to the role of the church, like, we're supposed to make the world a better place, these kind of ideals. But yeah. God sent his son, Jesus, to tell us what was going to happen to the church. You know, he said there would be great deceptions in the church. He said there'd be a great falling away. And whether we share that same belief or not, it's okay. Because if the role of the church is to fall away so that the true church can be washed in the blood of Jesus, that's pretty okay with me. So just because Jesus says the church is going to fall apart doesn't mean that the true church has to quit fighting.
Amen. Amen.
It's there to make a distinction between who is really his and who just wants in on the claimant.
But Rochelle, really, a lot of it is my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. They don't know better. They don't know better. They might want to get involved. They don't know.
I wonder, Coach, I wonder at this point how many people have chosen not to know, you know, a willful type of ignorance. They do know. They do know there's more, but it's easier to listen to this guy because I like what he's saying. He's in the position of authority. I'm going to submit to him, not God.
Yep. He makes me feel good. That's right. Amen.
Thank you.
Amen. Well said. Come on in there, Randy.
Coach, about 5 years, 6 years ago, I don't remember exactly. I got a revelation in the middle of the night in my bathroom. Okay. I don't know if I heard this voice or if God is in my spirit, but this came right out of my ceiling in my bathroom, right to me. It's clear as a bell. But it was Matthew 17. It's the transfiguration. Okay, let me share this, Coach. This is what God is still saying. Jesus took Peter, James, and John. He went up on Mount Hermon, and God transformed him. He glorified him there in front of them. Okay. He transformed them. They became light. And he brought Moses and Elijah, which the law and the prophets, he brought them in with Christ right there. And he lit them up. He wanted to do this. This was God's plan. Jesus just followed the voice of the Father. But so what happens? Peter, seeing this, he gets nervous and he goes, I know what we'll do. We'll build you a tabernacle. Moses, we'll build you a tabernacle. Elijah, we'll build a tabernacle, a building for you, Jesus. And the Shekinah glory, the clouds there, and it just moves. It says it moves right over there to Peter. And I can just, and I got this revelation in my bathroom, Coach. And God said, hey, Peter, I don't want another damned building. I want you to hear him. Hear him. This is my beloved son. Hear him. Coach, amen. This is a revelation when you get it. Some of us haven't got it. Some of us have. Coach, he doesn't need the building. He wants us to hear him. I'm thankful for air conditioning and pews and a padded seat and food. And we have a place to go worship. That's fine. But it's not about the building. We have to see the church is his temple and his people. So that's the revelation. When you see that and it becomes he don't need the institutions. In fact, Coach, maybe the reason those things are going away is they took the glory. Now they're the Ichabods. There is no glory in that building.
No
the glory is in his people. It's in Christ.
Amen.
In us. And that's what we're bringing. That's what we're revealing right now, Coach. We're showing that very thing right now. That's the revelation that we have, that we're showing the fake church is there's no glory in what you're doing because his presence is gone. It's not there. We have to keep speaking this, Coach.
We're going to turn this into a national movement. You hear me? We're going to turn this into a national movement, folks. An offensive weapon that the church can execute. We're going to do it. Craig, quickly.
Well, this adds on a little bit of Randy and Rochelle. Okay. Go back into the study, Nehemiah and Ezra, right? So they're back here. They got to build the walls. They build the temple. Okay. Then they start to hear the word of God and they're convicted. Okay. So at the end of the day, you know, someone's going to walk down the street that's on drugs or whatever, and they're not going to look at Craig Mickle's house or Randy's house. They're going to look at that building. They're going to say, I need to go somewhere. Well, that building needs to be representing what Christ represents. They need the word of God to be given and the Holy Spirit to operate out of that location, because that's what the general group of public looks towards, and it's not doing a good job. And so we're asking for the refiner's fire to come on that property, and however that looks, we'll leave it up to him.
Jesus said that he would build his church and the gates of hell would not prevail. It sounds like offense to me. The gates of hell will not prevail. The gates of hell cannot stop the advancement of the kingdom of God. Let's get busy doing it. See you tomorrow.